Rebecca. The tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past?
Well, good morning, Remnant, and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ this Sunday morning, February 16th, 2025. We thank you for joining us. We hope that you are staying warm this winter. Boy, I know it's warm down south. I've got pictures of my brother and his family out on the boat this last week. So what a variance. We're 20 degrees, 10 degrees out here with snow. But it's wintertime. That's how it is. So, we hope you're staying warm. Hope you're having a good winter. Enjoy it while it's here. The good Lord moves the seasons, causes them to happen, and before you know it, it'll be spring. So I hope you're getting ready for your garden. We kind of talked about that a week or two ago, but thanks for joining us. Don't have slides this morning. We're kind of having some technical difficulties, but we've got the stream, but couldn't get the slides up this morning. So, but got a few current events to share with you, and I hope that they're encouraging to you and help you to, help us all in our walk with the Lord. We start out with the pistol prayer, and we do our best to remind you that it is a type of imprecatory prayer. So before you pray it, if you're going to pray it with us this morning, just make sure you're prayed up. Make sure that you've prayed on the full armor of God. You've confessed your sins before God and prayed the Lord's Prayer and just said your prayers this morning. Armored up, ready for battle. That's how we should be every day. That should be our morning routine. I hope it is. Hope you'll join us. Lord Jesus, we pray with thy authority, we say, DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, bales be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. Stop the spells, send the spellcasters into hell. Jesus, cause it to be, and thank you. Thank you for the victory. Amen. And you know, we pray that again, we say it, because we see it coming true. The spells, wow. The spells are breaking. The people are waking up. Wow, it something's different. Now they can see things they couldn't see before. That's a step in the right direction. So, Remnant, we ask you to continue to pray that and continue to pray for more of the remnant to have their eyes opened. We hope you're reading your Bible. We do have the Bible reading plan still. We're still sending them out with new orders. And you know, if we send one out to you because you've ordered two or three times, just share it. Pass it out somewhere. Drop it off at the library or a truck stop or something. And maybe you never know. Maybe that's a seed planted to get other people to read their Bible. Well, I'm going to start out this morning again. Don't have slides, so you just have to listen. My apologies. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says, I exhort, therefore, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in high places, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and reverence. And so these are instructions that the Apostle Paul is giving to Timothy. First and foremost, he says, first of all, pray for all men, even those in authority, even the kings and those in authority. And so I hope you're doing that. We have a change in this nation, a change of leadership. Whether we have a change of direction, a change of spirit, a change of heart from the people, that's my hope and prayer. It is. But I sincerely believe that a lot of that comes, for some anyway, that are still blinded, that don't have their eyes open, that a lot of that comes from the top down. Now, I understand it's a spiritual problem that we have. It's a problem of the heart of the people of this nation. But so many are asleep. And it's like when you, like Colonel Moore's, give me 10 men. You get one that stands up and says, hey, wait a minute, this is wrong. We're going to do what's right. Well, before you know it, see, that strikes, that resonates within the remnant. And they say, wait a minute, that you're right. That is wrong. We've been putting up with that for too long. We're going to do what's right. And that's my hope. That's my hope. We have a couple things that are better. You know, there are Russia prisoners being released. I had this last week, had a couple pictures, but again, no slides this morning. But Russia releases U.S. prisoner after talks with the Trump envoy. The Kremlin freed Mark Fogel, a teacher held for more than 3 years on drug charges, in a deal negotiated by President Trump's Middle East envoy. And so it was not only him, but there were actually three detainees also released from Belarus, part of Russia, under Russian control anyway. And that news came the day after they released American Mark Fogel back to the U.S. And if you saw some of the headlines, he got back and he just told President Trump, he said, thank you. Thank you. The previous administration had not been able to do anything. And so, you know, that's better. That's better. It doesn't mean we worship Trump. It doesn't mean we fall down on our knees before him. No, but it's better. It's better leadership for this should-be Christian nation. It is. And I can tell you, it's better for their families. You know, what if it was your husband or son or dad or uncle or whatever that had been held? Anyway, so I see it as better. It's not the kingdom fulfilled by any means, but it's better. It's a step in the right direction. A couple more headlines. Migrant encounters on the southwest border drop 96% from last year. Now, see, that's better. That's better. We've talked about on Wednesday night after prayer meeting, talking with Paul, and on Thursday nights, and on Saturday morning's coffee with the Wranglers, about this invasion. We've been experiencing it for years. When the encounters are down 96% on the border, that's better. That's better. I think that shows not only a change in leadership, but a change in heart of the people. I hope so. I hope it does. And then another headline was, migrants are abandoning attempts to reach and stay in the United States. And again, it's because there's leadership that are down talking with the leaders in Panama and in Nicaragua and in Mexico and places. And so it's not just here, oh no, what do we do with all these migrants? But going back to the source, I think it's better. My thoughts. And I had this next one labeled better, maybe. I don't know. Did you see that President Trump ordered the Treasury Secretary to stop minting pennies? Oh, they're still going to be valid, but the order went out. Stop minting pennies. They cost more to produce than the face value of a penny. Now, we know the copper's been gone out of them for years, right? Said the typical penny today is about 97.5% zinc and only 2.5% copper. Since 1982, copper-plated pennies have been made primarily from zinc. Halting production, they're saying, should save the government about $180 million annually. That's good. That's better. Several other countries have stopped minting their lowest denomination coins, including Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Canada, Chile, Finland, Hungary, and New Zealand, with no serious issues. One thing that came to my mind was, boy, here's a step toward a cashless society, right? Could be. I don't know. It could be. I think we should all reflect and see just how cashless we are. How many times we just swipe our card or pay online with our phone if you order something online or something like that, versus pulling out the money out of your pocket and putting down the bills. And so maybe it's a step in that direction. I don't know. I don't think it is. Who knows? Who knows? It's still legal tender. The penny is still good. They're just not making them anymore. And that's for now. I don't think they're going to go in and destroy the mints, destroy the presses, but it's just for now. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Well, we try at some point in time in these reviews of the news to remind you of our network website, sfawbn.com. It is a voice in the wilderness. There you go. Got some slides back. Taking on the Giants. It is. It's just a lone voice in the wilderness. It really is. But there's lots there. The news wire is there. If you have current events, breaking news happening in your neck of the woods, this is one way that years ago, Pastor Peters figured out a way to do this and got it set up. And Jason's done a great job of continuing it and keeping it updated. And so it's a way to make these truths available to you. And also the current events, the things that are happening here, there, and kind of all over. And we do our best to do that, to share them with you. We'll get back to a scripture, Jeremiah 29, 5 and 6, our instructions for us. Not just for today, but I think this is what our forefathers saw and heard and yearned for and lived and did. It says, build homes and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they may have sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. Now, you know, whether the settlers of this nation from the pilgrims and before and after, you know, whether they saw this and had this up in their home to read it and told their children, this is what we're doing, this is what they did. And so you can see it's like that law unto themselves, right, that we read about. This is what they did to settle this country, okay? And they did it loving God, loving their neighbor. And the things that were dangerous to them and to their family and to their children and grandchildren, they got rid of. Well, I want you to see that if you can hit this next picture, Jason. Texas, 1938. This is a group of Texas cowboys in 1938. And I don't know if you can see on the horse, but there's a wolf there on the horse. And they wanted to get together and get a picture because they had got this wolf. Well, Colorado, what a mess. What a mess. Colorado used to be a, wolf. This finally made the national news. I really haven't seen it in the national news a lot, but again, it's finally getting there. Wolf fight pits ranchers against, quote, city people in Colorado. Colorado voters narrowly passed a law in 2020 seeking to reintroduce the gray wolves. And you see, that's a map. That's the voting map. Who voted, who passed the wolf initiative to reintroduce the wolf into Colorado. The green counties voted... Colorado was 50.9% to do that. And it was those green counties that voted yes. All the red counties voted no. But you see where the people are, and there's Denver right there in smack dab in the middle of it. Denver in that front range right there along the Rockies and over, what is that other, over toward Greeley and then down Colorado Springs. Just the concentration of the city people. Now, that's not where the wolf was reintroduced. Here was another picture of them reintroducing it. Oh, they just had a blast out there. You know, the governor's guy got out there to make sure you could see his picture, and though they were all so proud to be able to reintroduce the wolf. Here's a couple of quotes. We want wolves here because we know the ecological importance of the species. We want them out there doing what they do best, just like wildfire when it's managed properly. Rob Edward, co-founder of the Rocky Mountain Wolf Project, said, when we suppress those natural processes is when we get into problems. Now, that sounds great from the beginning, right? How about this? In contrast, fifth generation rancher Tim Richard sees it differently. Wolves got eradicated for a reason, and now we're putting them back on the landscape, yet our population's probably five times what it was in 1940. It's just kind of crazy. And he's absolute. He's the guy trying to raise food for me and you and for the people. And this other guy is saying, we want them out there doing what they do best. Boy, there's a esoteric and an exoteric message in that. I don't know if you can show these next couple pictures, Jason. Here was one, differing views. On ranches where wolf predation occurred, surviving calves were 22 pounds underweight, costing ranchers over $6,000 for a herd of 250 cattle, or seven times the typical reimbursement rate. These results demonstrate a potentially important and understudied aspect of economic conflict caused by wolves. Yeah, I'd say so. You know, we domesticated the cattle, and we raised the cattle, or tried to. You raise them for food, and then these left-wing libtard do-gooders put the wolf back in. But at least it's getting some national attention. And maybe with new leadership on the national level, the federal level, maybe we'll see that start to change as well. Okay? Because it's just another one of the attacks. You've heard us talk about it on Coffee with the Wranglers. It's another attack on the American farmer, the American rancher, trying to produce food. And it's another attack. It's another hurdle that there used to be that problem generations ago, and it was eradicated. It was taken care of. Oh, let's bring it back. By their fruits you shall know them. Well, it's allowed. The other thing that really caught my eye this week was the increase in disease. Saw several headlines, and again, maybe some changes on the national level to redirect how some of the things in the nation are going. But chronic disease rates in America have increased dramatically, from 7.5% of the population in the 1930s to 60% today, representing a 700% surge, while obesity now affects 40% of Americans. Do we realize that? We talked about that, I think, last week. Chronic disease, it's just, why is it increased? Well, let's look at Deuteronomy. Maybe we can figure something out here. Deuteronomy 28:60, God says, tells Moses, he will afflict you again with all the diseases you dreaded in Egypt, and they will cling to you. All the diseases you dread, he will afflict you with them. This isn't Satan doing it. This isn't the devil. This is God doing it. See, that's the strength of Gideon, when we realize what the problem is here, what the cause is, and why this is happening. Ezekiel 33:11, here's another verse. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Because we've turned from him. Because we've turned from him. It is as simple as that. Saw this headline this was just yesterday. Just printed this yesterday. Measles outbreak continues in Texas. Cases double. Investigation underway. Here comes measles again. How about this? They're saying it's the worst flu season in 15 years. Oh, worse than COVID. Worse than 15 years. Feels like everybody's getting the flu. Just some highlights here. Says percentage of doctor visits due to flu-like symptoms last week was higher than the peak of any flu season since 2010. Been at least 24 million cases of influenza and 13,000 deaths this winter season. Not sure why. Few guesses. Maybe the strain of flu going around is more intense. Maybe Americans are taking fewer precautionary measures. Who knows? Right? The experts don't seem to know. It says experts aren't 100% sure. Worst flu season in 15 years. You know, again, Jason, they've had a great flu buster pack that's been put out. The LDM and the other thing. There's things that we should do what we can, right? We should do what we can. And as we wake up, and as hopefully we're helping others wake up. You know, there's a couple of natural things. I had a picture here. I saw this. Had nothing to do with us, just out there. Nature's flu shots. Juice of lemons, a bulb of garlic, two teaspoons of ginger, and that's what you see up in the upper left, that ginger over there. A couple teaspoons of honey, some pineapple juice, and some cayenne pepper. Blend it all, put it in a glass jar, and take a cup four times a day. Now, I think that'd be pretty good for you, Jason, don't you? That's all good stuff. And, you know, that's all stuff that God provides. Oh, you're going to have to go down the store and buy it probably. But it's natural. It's not from craft. It's not from Dow Foods or DuPont or Monsanto or any of those. And so we have to do what we can, right? What's one of the, I've heard it, I don't know where, but, you know, you do what you can with what you have where you are, right? You do what you can. And God honors that when we do these things honoring Him. Now, does that mean there's never a time or a place for the Theraflu or whatever? Man, I hope so. I hope that it never gets to that point. But that certainly should not be where we start. And so many of our people, that is where they start. And that's why these statistics that we shared with you today are there. Worst flu season in 15 years. Because people continue to look to man and pharmaceuticals for health and healing. And it's not there. It's not there. You know, in talking with people over the last couple of weeks, I've been able to share, you know, if you go to a doctor for an ailment and he heals you, he cures you, he gives you something that you're fixed, he loses a patient. That's not what they're trained to do. But if he can give you a pill or something that, or practice, try this. Come back in a month or two or three. That didn't work, doc. 3 months later, well, let's try this and try it for 6 months. Well, no, that didn't work either, doc. It's getting worse. Well, let's try this for 6 months. Nope, now we got to amputate. Now we got to operate. The Bible talks about that. Anyway, couple scriptures and we'll wrap up this morning. Psalms 41:3 says, "The Lord nurses them when they are sick and restores them to health." That's where health is. That's where healing is. That's where true getting better is. And then, let's not forget Psalms 1, what is it, 103, verse 3. He, Old Testament, right? Same Testament as the New Testament. One word, one Bible, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Now, we all often relate that to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died and allows us the opportunity to be forgiven and to be healed, right? Acts 2:38. And this speaks of Him there, because all of the Scripture does points to Christ, points to the remedy, the fix, you might say. Well, looking at the clock, that's about all the time we've got this morning. Thanks for joining us this morning, this February 16th. Stay tuned. We have got a timeless pulpit message for you. Jason kind of introduced it yesterday on coffee. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be taking notes on it this morning. And then we've got a brand new message for you right after that. And I think you'll enjoy that one as well. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. Again, thanks for joining us. God bless.
There's a spirit in our land raising up the kind of man with a burning in his heart to be free. Like the preacher men of old, he can't be bought, he can't be sold. What did they preach? They preached liberty to a people who loved their liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. We'll guard our liberty. They called the king into accounting for his disregard of law, told their people not to yield before his threats. For God established rulers to protect the rights of man and ordained government to fit into his plan, to
to maintain his people's liberty.
Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jewelry we'll guard our liberty.
Such preacher men today to show our people the way to redeem their lost liberty. The fires of hell cannot prevail against one man who'll take a stand from the pulpit, expose tyranny, and teach his people liberty.
Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on.
Jury says, not guilty, we choose to acquit. The state was wrong to charge.